your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. In the last month, since the beginning of the year, we've been exploring spirituality in relationship to the practice of Usui-Shiki Ryoho and other Reiki practices. And in doing that, I've been able to interview many people from many different perspectives of what is spirituality, what spiritual practice, and what does this have to do with our Reiki practice, if anything? And for the most part, people have been very beautifully upfront and forward with their own story of their own spiritual path and how this has led them into Reiki or how Reiki found them at a certain moment in their spiritual questing. And this meeting has supported their spiritual journey. They're seeking to find out, as Raj so aptly put it last week, why does it have to be this way? So today I have with me Paul Mitchell, and Paul, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and Paul and I work together, and we have had some talks about this and about spirituality, about spiritual practice, about is the practice of Reiki a spiritual practice or is it something else? And we've been having this conversation for many years, so I wanted to invite him on the program and, yeah, let him talk for himself. So, Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, could you start us off by talking a little bit about your own spiritual practice or about your spiritual path in your life? Like, when did it start? Do you have a starting point and what does spiritual path mean to you? Maybe we can start with those two questions.
Sure. Well, I grew up in a Catholic family, and my mother especially was, you know, was very religious, and so I went to church all the time, went to catechism, and then when I was in third grade, my local parish started a Catholic school, so that's when I started my Catholic school education. Well, actually, it was in fourth grade. So, you know, I would say as a child, I started on my spiritual path with the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Church, and you know, lives of the saints and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, well, after I got out of middle school, well, actually in sixth grade, I decided I wanted to be a priest. So in ninth grade, I went off to what was called a junior seminary, and then, you know, we lived in community and had, you know, lots of spiritual practice. So we did morning meditations and mass and you know, lots of spiritual practices. As a kid, studying to be a priest, now this was in the Salesian order, went off at the end of high school to become to do a year of novitiate, which is specifically spiritual training for taking vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which is a part of the particular training that I was involved in.
And excuse me. Paul, I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not really familiar with this whole thing, but Roger also mentioned that he started, I think, in ninth grade. So, like, how is this different? How is this particular kind of schooling to study to be a priest Is that very different from the schooling that you would regularly get at, you know, like a Catholic school, which teaches mathematics and English and, you know, all the usual things, but just in a Catholic context? Do you just eliminate that part of your education, or?
No, all the other parts of the education are there. We have to study everything because in terms of training, you have to go to university and have a major. So you have to study like any other kid. In addition to studying religion, studying the Bible, and in this kind of school, in the seminary, part of our day, every day, is devotional practices. So going to Mass in the morning, praying, praying before meals, praying before study hall, praying before class. There's that constant alignment, through prayer with God and always seeking to do God's will. So it's a daily, there are all these devotional practices throughout the day.
And let me think. So when you use the word spiritual practice instantly, does a general thing come to mind, or really specific things like praying and perhaps saying the rosary or meditating? Or, I mean, I'm just wondering where spiritual practice comes into it as the actual term in the seminary.
In the seminary, I would say, the devotional practices, but also I would say, part of the teaching is to make everything you do part of your spiritual practice. All through the seminary, we all had chores. We did most of the maintenance on the buildings and the school buildings and the dormitories and all this stuff. And
excuse me, Paul. Can I just interrupt you a minute?
Yeah.
Could you just speak a little slower? I'm having trouble following you.
I'm sorry. Got excited.
Okay. We want you to stay excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, everybody had chores that they did. And, the teaching was, everything you do, is an expression. It can be prayer. So then values come into it. You do a good job. You serve the community. You're mindful of other people's needs, things like that. So that was the ideal, really, that everything that we were doing was part of our spiritual practice.
Great. So now you're studying to be a priest in the seminary, and you're 18? Is that when I interrupted you?
Yes.
Okay.
I went into this special year's training. Is there supposed to be music on?
No. Sorry, this is a kind of a crazy thing. This means that there's a break coming on.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to end here. We'll come back with the rest of Paul's story and much, much more after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. And today we're speaking with Paul Mitchell, who is a colleague of mine. He was initiated as a master and in all three degrees by Hawaii Otakata. And we are colleagues and teach together. And we're just coming into a conversation about Paul and his spiritual training as to become a priest in his early childhood. So I'm just surprised at how early people do make this decision and then get involved in schooling and so on. So, Paul, we're to you at 18.
Yes. So at this point, after having graduated high school, then I go into this special year of religious training. It's called novitiate. And it's 12 months and one day. So we live isolated, actually, this group of young men. And you know, we do extensive training in meditation technique and studying the rules of the order, as well as a few other things. We studied Greek and Italian, because it was an Italian-based order. And then at the end of that year, and you had, you know, counseling with the director all the time, and at the end of that year, then you were kind of voted on to see if you were, seemed to be good material for this calling, and then at the end of that year took vows. And then, you know, I was a religious brother. And then continued my education after that at a college that was right there. It was a seminary college. And everybody had to major in philosophy, which was the prerequisite for graduate work in theology for those that went on. But I didn't finish the program after... in 1974. Well, in 1973, I took a year's leave of absence, and then I decided not to go back. But I was still interested in being of service in some way, and a year later, I got a job teaching in a Catholic high school, teaching religion, and then after a couple years, then I was head of the campus ministry, so I ran the retreat program for the kids and the faculty, and as well as teaching. And it was during that time that I learned Reiki.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. So could you share with us your story of how you did that, how you met Reiki?
Yes. I did team teaching, and I was working with a brother, a religious brother, there at the school. And one day he came to me with this brochure about a holistic health conference. And he said, we should go to this thing. And I had no idea why he thought we should go to this thing, since we were religion teachers.
Well, that was actually one of my questions right there.
Right.
Okay, so you didn't know.
I didn't know. He showed me this thing and said, we should go. And I ended up going by myself. He stayed home. And I went to this conference, and you know, the holistic health movement was just kind of getting going, and there were, I think, 1,000 people at this hotel in Los Angeles, and there are all these speakers. Many of them were kind of the people at the beginning edge of a holistic health, you know, Brew Joy and Irving Oil and Effie Chow and
wow.
And Jerry Jampolsky.
Wow.
And Olga Worrell was there, who was the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing that I got from that was the personal stories. They were so inspiring about these basically doctors, psychiatrists, who were very good in their profession, doing very well in their stories, their personal lives were a mess. Problems with alcohol, relationship, da-da-da-da-da. And they had some spiritual awakening in one way or another, and that began then to impact how they looked at and how they practiced medicine or their profession. And I found those stories so inspiring. And I was driving home, thinking, well, there's something here for me. But I didn't have a clue where to put it because I wasn't a healthcare professional.
Right.
And that next summer, I had been taking some courses at San Francisco State University, and I took courses that were interesting, and because then I went up on my salary scale every time I got 6 units. So I saw this course entitled Holistic Health and Self-Regulation. And I thought, oh, well, yeah, that fits with this thing that I'm pursuing that I have no idea why I'm pursuing it. And so I took the course. And I met Dr. George Araki, who was focusing the course. And there were lots of guest speakers. And one of them was your grandmother, Hawaii Takata. And that's how I first heard of Reiki. And at the end of her talk, she said, well, if anybody's interested, I'll come back and teach in a few months. And I raised my hand and put my name on the list and went home, told my wife about it. She was interested too. And a few months later, got a call and went to the home of George Araki and took the first degree.
Amazing. So, you know, it's really interesting because in my sort of vernacular, if I think this is the right way to use this word, what you've just described over the last few minutes is a spiritual path for me. That's like, this is a seeking somehow that something has happened and things just happen along the way that lead you there. Choices that one makes, like going to this conference or whatever. So, I don't know, do you agree with that, or is that too loose a term used for the word, the phrase, spiritual path?
Well, I mean, in as the way you described it, I can use that, sure.
Mm-hmm. And is there another way to, is there another sort of more definitive definition or that might follow spiritual path for you?
Well, I guess I have a basic belief that human life is a spiritual path.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
And
yeah, I can agree with that.
And we are, you know, we can be more or less awake to that.
Uh-huh.
And I would say then the more awake we are, the more consciously we are involved in the process. And, you know, maybe that helps us make choices that we don't understand while we're making them. You know, we follow the movement maybe of our spirit, right? Or the pole or something.
Right. Well, you know, in my, when the first 30 years of my life, I was pretty much a manic, I would say, in my choice, sort of how I made my choices. I don't mean that in a psychological sense, but more in my relative point of stability was always changing. So it was either, well, will I make more money here, or will I be more happy there, or do I want to ski, or, you know, like, somehow my point of relativity changed a lot. But it seems like very early on in your life, you had this point inside of yourself that, you know, when you came to a decision or a choice, that you used that point, I'll call it a still point or a point of reference, where, you know, maybe what happened in your choices was that you had this feeling that it was congruent with something inside of you. Would you say that was true?
Yes. I mean, I think because of my religious upbringing, there was this hunger somehow for union with God or connection with God, and interestingly enough, the order that I became a part of, the founder of that order was a relatively new order. He was a very gifted healer.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
And he was incredibly clairvoyant.
Oh, wow.
So he had these astral travel experiences and bilocation. And
wow.
All kinds of things. I mean, it was really interesting for me just not too many years ago to read in a magazine from one of my old professors who's still a Salesian priest, that he used those words, that he used the words clairvoyant.
Wow. And that was in line with the church?
Yeah.
I mean, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's kind of an eye-opener or ear-opener, I would say.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's interesting to me that, you know, hearing the word Reiki and healing, I could just, because you asked those, I mean, I don't think I made this connection until you asked that question. You know, I could understand why, at least in some ways, why I leaned toward it right away.
Fascinating. Well, I always have had, since I've known you, this, I guess this question is going to have to wait until after our station break. We're going to be right back with more conversation with Paul Mitchell and perhaps a little pointers on how we can be clear about our own choices in our lives. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ladies, what are you willing to do to live the life of your dreams? Are you willing to start today? If your answer is yes, even if you are just mildly curious, you've got to tune in to Wise Divas with life coach and host Teresa Proctor each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Radio Network. Start living your wildest dream today. Terry O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
Videos de aprendizaje de inglés. Máxima calidad.
Nunca escucharás a alguien vendiendo educación en la calle, pero con programas familiares gratuitos sí puedes obtener la educación que necesitas. Llame al 1-877-326-5481 para información sobre programas gratuitos de educación familiar.
Mira, vengan aquí. Obtengo un mejor vocabulario en inglés garantizado.
El primer paso a una vida mejor. Un mensaje del National Center for Family Literacy y el Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I'm here with Paul Mitchell. Let's see. We were speaking about having a still point inside of oneself and developing. And, you know, I was just saying that in my years of knowing you, I've always felt that this early Catholic training somehow gave you more of a consciousness or understanding about what that still point was for you, and that you made decisions with some sort of continuum. I mean, it just seemed like there was this continuum that happened. And I felt like I, even though Reiki was a part of my family in the sense that my grandmother was a Reiki master, and she initiated, you know, all of the family members, and we all practiced mostly very little until the time that I was 30. And, you know, I just envied you sometimes in this quality of nurturance of this spiritual journey that you were on. And I'm just wondering if you feel like that was something that really has benefited your path in Reiki?
I do, Phyllis. I mean, I feel that it has been a benefit. When I first took Reiki, and practiced, I felt like I was experiencing something, that a connection that I had been reaching for always before, and had it at moments, you know, at different
uh-huh.
times, but that it was suddenly there and so much clearer,
uh-huh.
And that it was like, oh yes, you know, this is a part of what I've been looking for. And the other side of that was that, you know, I had a container. I felt like I had a container where I could just say, oh, yes, this fits.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm. And was the container more about human experience, or what would you call the container?
Well, I think the container was I had a way to understand how healing energy can flow through me and benefit
uh-huh.
others. Benefit me and benefit others.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
I it's always interesting for me when I hear Mrs. Takata in my mind, in her definition of Reiki is universal life energy or God power. And, you know, it's like universal life energy. I strung the words together, but you know, I had to intellectually try to understand what that was.
Uh-huh.
But when she said God power, it was like clunk. Oh,
uh-huh.
I get this. You know, that, and that, so that was my experience. You know, it's like the energy of divine energy or healing energy flowing through me.
Uh-huh. So when you hear the term God power, is that different for you than just God? Like, does it evoke something different in you?
Well, yeah, I think in terms of, because, well, this is how my mind goes. It's like God, power, source, source, God, you know,
uh-huh.
power emanating from God.
Right.
And, well, go ahead.
Well, I just would interrupt you here for a minute, because just yesterday I was writing, you know, the stuff about Reiki and on my computer, and I realized for myself that I have never gotten, and I typed out this phrase, God power. And I thought, well, but she didn't say God. She said God power.
Uh-huh.
So because of my background, universal life energy made total sense.
Uh-huh.
But but in my own kind of resistant, kind of rebellious Christian upbringing, you know, which I couldn't figure out why I went to church or what benefit I ever reached from going to church, except I liked the singing and I liked the feeling of church.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I didn't know about the sermons and all that. And so for me, it was like, I think that somehow I've arrived at somehow not resisting the word God so much and being able to see that these two could be synonymous somehow.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very interesting, it's an interesting juxtaposition to just talk to you about that today and see that I just come from a really different, from one direction and you've come from the other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, fascinating. So I would also agree that it is, or in any way, in my mind, I thought, oh, she didn't say God. She meant something coming from God.
Uh-huh.
Or, and so leaving God more into a non, what would I say, controversial place.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to talk about whether there is an existence of God or not, but this is the power that comes from God.
Uh-huh.
Or is related in, or is associated somehow with this concept of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I find, you know, the term God so interesting and kind of fraught, to use one of your terms, because I realize, you know, it's like, well, what image do we have, or what concept, or what sense? And
uh-huh.
so individual, and you know, and if the whole kind of exploration of God was in our childhood, then we probably hold on to that image, you know, in some way.
Right. Yes. Well, I've been trying to get rid of this picture that I have of this old man with a beard sitting on a cloud, which I feel like doesn't really serve me. It just
I would concur.
So, in my own understanding of your path or your journey of your spirit as you have walked it in the last few years, you've come back to the Catholic Church a bit. How has that been for you?
Oh, that's been really interesting. And amazing. When I started doing Reiki, the next year I stopped teaching in the Catholic school, and then very soon after I became a Reiki master. So I started teaching Reiki, and I basically stopped going to church for the next, I don't know, more than 20 years, and And I would say kind of my prayer life diminished also. And my experience of doing Reiki was very prayerful. But also, this kind of active, focused prayer wasn't there. And I had this experience, it's like, I feel like sometimes the universe or whatever tricks us into being at the right place. I went to a concert of a teacher who was leaving the valley. I didn't even know she was a musician, but she was a friend of my daughter's. So I went to this concert. I had no idea what instrument she played or anything. And it turns out she's a gospel singer. So she writes her own gospel songs, and she plays the piano. And she just played and sang these, hymns, gospel songs, whatever. And the whole time I was just in tears. And I left feeling like, there's this longing in me. I'm missing something that my spirit or my soul needs. And that experience was awakening in some way. And then I tried to figure out, how to meet it, And I started going to that church a little bit, but I couldn't deal with the theology. 3 times out of 4 gave me a headache. But the music was really wonderful. And then I decided, I should just go back to the Catholic Church because that's where I'm at home. But I thought, but to do that, I got to be really involved. Like, I got to put my stamp on it somehow. But somehow that didn't feel good.
Well, we're going to have to come back and find out how it didn't feel good and what your next steps were just after this station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the 7th Wave Network.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie broadcasts every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom who's been swimming a lot with her kids must have lost them.
Whoa, I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54.
Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
The public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Paul Mitchell. He lives in Cataldo, Idaho, and he's talking about his way back into the Catholic Church. And you were saying that there were things that you didn't know if you... What were the words that you used?
Well, it didn't feel good to me, kind of the way I envisioned myself going back. That I needed somehow to be really involved so that the church was going kind of more my way or something. You know?
Wow, that's interesting. I can't wait to hear how you did that.
Well, so then I got a reading, suggested that I do is to do a journey or a retreat. And so I decided to do a retreat, and I decided to go to a monastery with men and just do a 9-day silent retreat.
Uh-huh.
And so I went, I found this Trappist monastery outside of Portland, and I went. And it's the first time in, you know, since my seminary days, 35 years or so, where I had done a retreat and been in silence, really, for any extended period of time. And so I had an interesting meeting with my own mind, and because that's all that was available. and eventually, after getting past my judgments and noticing that I was having judgments, and I just... then open to being kind of held by the spiritual practice of the monks. So I just kind of was allowed myself to be bathed in that energy. And I would say I, in the process, kind of reconverted myself. And I knew that, you know, that this was part of my home. And I didn't have to do anything. That just being a part of a faith community, going to Mass, being a part of the liturgy, doing these things nurtured a part of my spirit that was necessary for me, you know, part of my of my soul's journey, I would say. And in that experience, that's how I got back, and I just came home and started to going back to church. And you know, when I get irritated, which is I sometimes do, because I still have this somewhat judgmental mind. You know, it's like at a sermon or something that bugs me or something like that. I just remind myself that that's not why I'm there. And, you know, let it go. And I, you know, I find it very nurturing. And then the other part was that it really, and the retreat did this, it really opened me to study and what I call spiritual reading. So, it, you know, that has become part of my daily practice. And then I do a retreat every year, and I do an intensive period of like study. So I feel like I'm, you know, getting support, getting direction, and then I also picked up a morning prayer practice that I do, and my prayer life, you know, became more alive, and something in that just shifted for me. It was very important, and it, you know, I think it's about surrender in some way.
Uh-huh. And what would you say surrender to, fill in the blank?
I would say surrender to God, to life, to to being more in my life like following Jesus' teaching. You know, surrendering to that as opposed to kind of doing it only my way.
Well, I just had a kind of flash. So I don't know if you will go along with this, but, you know, when I filled in the blank for you was sort of like, you know, surrendering to who you really are. And part of who you really are was to be born to a family who was very religious, and, you know, in that, in having that influence, you know, there's no way you can back out of that somehow. So I guess the surrender part is more the having the posture of going into it and flowing with it rather than resisting it. And would you say that that was a change that might have been possibly made?
Well, Phyllis, I don't know if there was resistance.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was. It was more. It was. Can I give you a little theory?
Okay. Sure. And we're speaking about the period of time where you didn't practice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, what I feel like is that, I feel like as a human being, we have kind of these innate longings and callings to really flower, grow, develop.
Uh-huh.
In what direction? You know, that's always an interesting question. But for me, it's like in all the religious traditions and spiritual traditions, you know, there is this picture of kind of what human beings have discovered that we're moving towards, growing into, developing into. And so, you know, I grew up with a picture, which I find, you know, several years later, resonates with me.
Uh-huh.
I think all of us, you know, have some kind of a picture, conscious, unconscious, and
uh-huh.
and you know, it depends on maybe background, depends on, you know, what, who comes
right.
into our path, who we're drawn to.
Right, right. And would you say that your coming back to the Catholic Church has affected your Reiki practice? Has it compromised it at all? Or do you feel like it's become somehow more complete because you feel more at home? Or I'm just curious about that.
Yes, I feel more complete. And
mm-hmm.
So... In one sense, I feel like I feel like I was not quite complete without, you know, my Christian living somehow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so when that came in, it's like then, whoo, you know, Reiki then felt more complete in me.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because my first experience of Reiki, like, filled the Catholic part, and now the Catholic part, some years later, is kind of filling in a way the Reiki part.
Just a second. You know. Hello.
Yes?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah, if I think about, you know, practicing the Reiki principles, for example,
uh-huh.
all my kind of Christian upbringing just supports that. important that is and how to pay attention to those. And, So I feel really strengthened by that and supported.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wonderful. Well, I know that there are lots of people who are in our listener community who have, you know, religious practice or meditation practice or some other kind of practice who struggle sometimes with this one line of practice and, you know, what does, how to hold both practices, Reiki and this religious or other meditative practice. And people, some people do it really easily, and some people really have struggles. And I don't really understand why one is and why the other is. But it's really inspiring to hear that your story and how both can be beneficial. And I think the most important thing for me in this discussion is whether or not the person feels at home and they feel complete with both practices and that they feel like they can honor each practice fully and completely to the degree that they wish. And I think that that's an important consideration. And would you say that you have been able to do that for yourself?
It certainly feels that way to me. I mean, I don't see that I have two practices, and you know, it's all integrated, and I see that some people struggle, some people don't, and I don't understand often kind of the struggle part, you know, but because Reiki is so integrating for me,
right. Right. It is the key of integration, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Paul, for being on the show.
You're welcome. It was delightful.
Yes. And we look forward to next week with Jean Ferris. So take care, and this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.